So I'd like to welcome you all to this retreat, and like to just start by thanking the managers and the organizers for making this possible and for inviting us and making it possible for us to be here. And those of you who are new, there are quite a few new people, as well as a number of people who we know from past retreats, from past years here in Israel, and also from India. I'm Norman, and this is Peggy, and we'll be joining you for these 5 days, this 5-day retreat, and we are very happy to be here. And I must say, there were times over the past few months when we wondered if it would be possible for us to come, and we're very happy that that things have at least temporarily settled here in Israel enough for us to be here. I don't know how much you've been told about us, but just briefly, we're based in Canada, and the past few months we've been doing our annual winter tour, and Israel is the last stop on our tour of India and England and Israel, and at the end of this retreat we go back to Canada, and it's cool here, but it's warmer here than in Canada. So we come together for this retreat, these 5 days together, and it's rather a timely time and an appropriate time to be doing a retreat, to be engaged in a meditation retreat. This being the time of Passover, and Passover being the celebration and the remembering of freedom, of liberation. And of course, meditation is also very much about freedom, about liberation. And so it is very appropriate for us to be here together. And I know that at this time, through the Passover holidays, there are lots of choices here in Israel for different kinds of festivals and different events that take place. it's very satisfying for us, and a real joy and delight for us to see so many people willing to pass on those kinds of activities and engage in meditation at this time. With Passover, the freedom, the liberation, has somewhat of an emphasis on freedom from the kind of slavery which is under others. So we become slaves to other people, oppressed by others. With meditation, the emphasis is somewhat more on the kind of oppression and the kind of slavery that we impose on ourselves. The way that we relate to ourselves and to other people and to the world. And often we relate to ourselves, to others, and to the world in a way that, in the nature of the relationship, there is a kind of oppression. There is a kind of slavery. And in this, we find when we start to look and start to pay attention to how we relate to ourselves, to the world, we can see that often this relationship and the actions, our actions which come out of the relationship, are based on not very wholesome qualities. Very often our actions are based on strong desires and greed. Greed for the self. What I want. For me. very often our actions are based on ill will or hatred. And certainly we see that here in Israel, very sadly. And we can see how actions coming out of these are a type of slavery. There's not much freedom when we're acting from these places. And so meditation is looking within ourselves, looking in our lives, using the form. We use the form of a retreat, we use the form of formal meditation as a support, as a tool for learning how to and learning what it means to look within ourselves. But very importantly, meditation isn't just for sitting on the cushion. It's not just for the formal practice, but meditation really is for our day-to-day life. It's looking within ourselves, looking at our lives, looking at our thoughts, looking at our actions, and seeing where there is a bondage, where there is a slavery, where there is an absence of freedom of the mind and freedom of the heart. And not just looking to see that, to recognize it, but to end it. Through the meditation, through giving attention to our lives, giving attention to who we are, coming to end this slavery, and coming to truly know what liberation of mind and heart is. And so in these days together here, we will be engaging in various forms of looking within ourselves, looking into mind and heart, and seeing where we are holding on, where we are tied, where we're bound to something, seeing where we're pushing away, rejecting, experiencing aversion, ill will. And seeing if we can find and know what it means to release, to be free from these forces, to open mind and heart to the living moment, open mind and heart to what is in this present moment. And in that opening to the present moment, allowing for a deep inner wisdom and a deep inner peacefulness to reveal itself. So these days together here may not always be easy. The conditions themselves here at this center are not the greatest, not the easiest. We may find that in the days together here, we'll think about, oh, maybe I should have gone to that festival, or maybe I should have done that, or maybe I should be somewhere else. Not so great here. The outer conditions are a little bit difficult, and we may find that the inner conditions also may not be so easy at times. And the practice is to look at this, to look at our relationship to what is, and to see where we can find the unsatisfactoriness, find the conflict, find the struggle, and let go in a way that we can know freedom from it. There will no doubt be times during these days together when you'll have brilliant ideas of how this retreat could be better, or how it could be easier, or how it could be more comfortable or more enjoyable. And some of these ideas may actually be good ones. But our purpose in being in retreat isn't necessarily to be more comfortable or to be more enjoyable or to be easier. The purpose of being on retreat is to look at what is and to look at our relationship to what is, and to see what understanding we can come to see what wisdom can come to us, and to know our freedom with whatever is. And I might just add that just for those of you who are new to retreats, I might just add that the difficulties and the struggles with the outer and the inner don't apply only to beginners. Those of us who have done many retreats also find at times there's much inner struggle, and there can be struggle with the outer as well. And so meditation isn't a matter of coming and doing one or two or three or any certain number of retreats and coming to some great understanding that suddenly turns a switch and the whole life changes and the world changes and everything from that moment on is wonderful. But meditation really is moment to moment in retreat and in our daily lives. And so again, we use the form of the retreat as a support for cultivating the awareness, cultivating the mindfulness that allows us to look within ourselves, that allows us to explore our lives. And the mindfulness, the awareness, and the interest in life that allows for the insight, for the understanding to show. In the meditation, we can easily get caught up in the struggles, get caught up in the difficulties. Sometimes even people who aren't having difficulties start looking and saying, oh, should be some difficulty. I should be having some strong emotions. Something should be happening. And sometimes we can get caught up in unpleasantness and uncomfortableness and displeasure, or we can get caught up in the idea that it should be happening. And one important point with the meditation is to remember that meditation is an opening of the heart. An opening of the heart means opening the heart to ourselves to begin with. Being gentle with ourselves, being kind to ourselves. Remembering to be gentle, remembering to be kind, but also remembering that being kind and being gentle doesn't mean being lazy. It doesn't mean just following every desire of the mind, every want of the mind, or every dislike of the mind. But it means really giving attention to what is, with an interest in giving attention, with an interest in coming to understand, and an interest that is gentle and kind and friendly to ourselves. So for this process of looking within, this process of really coming to be with ourselves and yet with the support of so many others, this process of coming to understand who we are, coming to understand the actual nature of self, coming to understand the actual nature of life. For this process, we have the retreat as a support, as a form. And within the form of the retreat, we have a number of supports, and Peggy is going to speak about these now.
Sitting here in this meditation hall that's been beautifully transformed by the managers. Really, much appreciation. I'd like to just talk with you a little bit about the basic form of the retreat, the schedule, the ethical guidelines, and the silence that is a very important part of the retreat. So some of this form, some of this that we call the retreat, may seem strange, it may seem challenging, especially at the beginning. And so I really want to encourage all of us to make it a true beginning, as if we've never done this before. And just let go of expectations. Let go of any idea of what meditation is, of what the schedule should be, of what the silence will be like. And instead, just welcome it just as it is. Welcome ourselves just as we are, bringing a gentle openness to just life happening in the next 5 days together. So here on the retreat, we follow a schedule, and some of you probably have seen it posted. And if you haven't sat a retreat before, it can be a bit daunting. An awful lot of sitting, an awful lot of sitting and walking and sitting and walking. Believe it or not, having this schedule really can free us from having to plan our day, from having to think about what to do next. It's all laid out for us. So it's a really, really, it's a wonderful opportunity to rest in just mindful being instead of the busy thinking and doing that we engage in so often in our lives. So the schedule itself, we begin with the bell for wake up at 5:45, and then this is followed by an exercise period of 45 minutes. And we really encourage you to use this for exercise other than lying in bed. So it's the grounds here are wonderful, and it's great to do yoga or tai chi or to do jogging or even just to go for a walk. Just get out into the nature and move the body. It's a great way to wake up the body. And then there's a sitting before breakfast. And in fact, during the day, as you look at the schedule, there are many back-to-back sitting and walking, sitting and walking periods. And it's a chance for kind of a continuity, a continuum, hopefully this unbroken period of mindfulness and awareness. And then we have meals, which are a very important part of the day. There's breakfast and lunch and a light supper meal. And the meals are often also an opportunity for mindfulness. You know, we're standing in the line for food, in the food queue, and it's a great time just to be aware of what the thoughts are. Is there worrying about whether there'll be enough food by the time I get to the food? Is there a sense of impatience? What's the feeling in the body? Is there a feeling of hunger? Also, the actual eating, the actual process of eating. Wonderful opportunity for mindfulness. Also included in the periods of meditation are times for teaching and instruction and guidance from Norman and myself. So in the morning, the first period after breakfast is the morning Dharma talk and sitting. And this is an hour period where we give the instructions for the day. So that's a really important sitting to come to and to be awake in. And then in the afternoon, there's a guided sitting meditation. And in the evening, there's another talk. There's a Dharma talk. There are also going to be meetings with us in small groups. So we'll sort of divide you up into small groups of about 8 people. And we hope to meet with you with each of the small groups every other day doing the retreat. And we'll make up the lists and post the lists and the time of the small group meetings sometime, probably tomorrow after breakfast. And the small groups are a chance for us to check in with you and for you to ask questions and just get a sense of what other people are going through as well as yourself. We also hope to be able to give you a chance to sign up for individual meetings with us, and we'll talk more about that in a day or so. But please know that we're available for you if a question comes up, an urgent question or a concern that just can't wait until you meet with us in a small group or have a chance to sign up for an interview. So you can leave us a note on the bulletin board, or you can just find us and let us know that you need some time, you need some connection. We're here to be of support to you and your practice. So to spend this time together on retreat, to go within, to inquire into life. This process is greatly facilitated when we live with ethical guidelines, when there's a sense of morality that's the base, the foundation to what we do here. When we live consciously in a way that's respectful and non-harming and safe for everyone here, to others as well as ourselves. And so as a group, we make the intention to support each other in this way. We make an effort. We undertake to live in harmony with all beings here on the retreat, to show kindness and respect to myself, to others, and to the nature here, to the plants and the trees and the creatures. And with this effort, with this undertaking, all kinds of subtle behavior, all kinds of thought, it really can be an opportunity for mindfulness and compassion. When there's an impulse to harm an insect, or when you see a cushion lying around, maybe it's somebody else's, just to be mindful. We also undertake to bring awareness to our speech with the intention to speak truthfully and with clarity and with respect. And we undertake to bring awareness to our actions with the intention to give respect and space to each individual here on retreat, to provide a safe environment in which to practice. And we undertake not to cloud the mind, not to engage in strong habits. And this contributes to a safe environment for all of us. And on this retreat, it means that while we're here, we make the effort not to smoke at all, not to take alcohol, not to take drugs, except, of course, for prescription medicine that's needed for illness. And I know this can be very, very difficult for people who smoke regularly. And Norman and I would like to offer whatever support we can for those of you who are really taking a big step to in support of all of us with this. And one suggestion that's proved very helpful for many people who are stopping smoking is to drink lots and lots and lots of water. So try this. So these guidelines are stated in the practice of insight meditation, in the Vipassana practice that we're doing here. They're known as precepts. And just to state these more formally, we agree to these five precepts: to refrain from intentionally causing harm, to take only what is freely offered, not to engage in sexual activities and to refrain from sexual misconduct, to speak truthfully outwardly and inwardly, and not to use any substance which dulls the mind. Another aspect of the retreat is the commitment to silence. And for people who are here for the first time, this can seem difficult. So this time together is very precious, this time here on retreat. We come together to share the meditation practice, to hear the teachings. It's a time when so many conditions and factors are intentionally present to support understanding and to support liberation. And one of these most important conditions is the silence. It really welcomes and nourishes the inner life. It's a support for meditation and for mindfulness. To me, the silence is like a container. It holds us in spaciousness and in the quiet, and it asks nothing of us. And it makes me think of the sky and the way the sky is a container for the clouds and the sun and the moon and the stars. It's able to hold all that arises in it. It can be a container for storm and for calm, for darkness and for light. Without any comment, without any judgment, without any problem. It just is. And in the silence here, storms may also arise. Mind storms, storms in the body. And just to know that it's part of being in a different environment. It's part of being. It's part of taking the time just for ourselves in the quiet. Away from the talking, away from all the stimulation of family, of friends, of work, of television, of telephone. And so to add to this support in the silence, to really give extra support to the inner silence, we ask that you not read or write, just to really settle into the silence without any added stimulation. So it's okay if you want to write down a note or two, if you have some insight, some understanding, or there's something in one of the discussions or talks that really feels important to you. But just really keep it to a few notes, just something that will jog your memory when you get home. And the support for the silence is also coming to the sittings and the group meetings and the talks on time. So we encourage each of you to make a real commitment to the silence here as a support to your own practice as well as for the others here. So the commitment to the silence is primarily through non-speaking. But please know that this is not intended to be a suppression of feeling, of emotion, of crying. Because in this environment, sometimes the feelings run deeply, and sometimes tears come, and it's fine. It's really, really fine, and we all wish to respect that process. But we also encourage you to make a commitment to the inner silence by not giving so much attention or importance to the talking that goes on within, to the planning, to the stories, to the judging. And also to make a commitment to receptivity, to openness, to bring that quality to the small groups, to the evening talks, to the morning talks, bringing that quality of an open mind and an open heart. So our commitment to the silence asks all of us to let go of the usual convention of supporting each other by contact in a very interactive way, and to do so instead by giving the gift of silence to ourselves and to each other. Of course, the exception to that is if a question or a concern comes up and you need to speak with one of us or you need to speak with a manager, please, we're here to support you. So if you've come to the retreat with a partner or a friend, the silence may be an additional challenge to you. And we really ask you just to give your partner, to give your friend space. It's so easy, you know, we're so used to checking in with each other, how are things? And if you really can, just please try to let each other, let yourself and let the other person find his or her own way of being here. If there's any concern about anyone here, whether it's someone you know about or someone you don't know, instead of going up and checking with them, if you could just let Norman or me know, either leaving us a note or coming and speaking with us, we'll be glad to check in with that person ourselves. And usually, you know, in a time like this, emotions can run freely, and sometimes it's just part of the process, and really that getting in touch with emotion can contribute to understanding, can contribute to liberation. So please to show respect for the process and each other in this way. And also just to know that if the silence feels especially uncomfortable at first, just to be patient, just to give it some time, give yourself some time, that usually by the end, people who are most concerned about the silence really find it to be one of the most valuable parts of retreat. So I wish all of us well in the days ahead. I wish all of us a fulfilling retreat. And in a minute or two, Norman will lead us in a sitting together. So if you'd like to just stand up and have a stretch, just right here in the hall, please do. Thank you.
Now please don't go out.
And they might have to go to the toilet. We'll say that. It's just going to be a short sitting. Well, you didn't tell me. You can ring the bell.
We'll have just a short, maybe about a 20-minute sitting, and then a short 15 to 20-minute walking period, and then we'll come back together for a very short final sitting for the evening. And this evening we'll just give very basic, simple instructions just to get you started, and then tomorrow morning after breakfast we'll give much more complete and more detailed instructions. So for the sitting, first thing is with the posture, and just very simply, how you sit, whether you're sitting on the floor or sitting on a chair or on a bench like I'm sitting on, doesn't really matter. And so if any of you have at any time problems with the back or a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort in the sitting, please feel free to find a chair. Tomorrow we'll give instructions for standing meditation, and so also in the sitting periods, if you're having a lot of discomfort, it's okay to do standing, and we'll give instructions for that tomorrow. But what's important in the sitting meditation is that there be some degree of ease in sitting, some degree of comfort, so that we can sit for at least a few minutes without having to move. So having a sitting position that has some degree of comfort, some degree of ease, and with that, what is important is that the back and the neck be reasonably straight. So just finding a sitting position where the body is upright. Okay, having a sense of the body being erect, being upright, and yet at the same time not being tense or tight. So a feeling of kind of softness or being relaxed in the body. And we can begin just by noticing how the body feels. Just what's the general sense of the body? Does it feel comfortable or uncomfortable? Does it feel balanced, or does it feel like the body is going to fall over? Having a sense of just being present. Noticing what the experience of the body is just to be sitting. And then it can be helpful also to just notice where the body contacts with the earth, being aware of the experience of the body resting on the earth, feeling that contact, that connection. And the eyes can be gently closed or just partly closed, whatever feels relaxed, whatever feels comfortable. The arms relaxed with the hands resting on the knees or in the lap. And then we can notice that as we sit, the body is breathing. We notice that without making any effort, the body breathes in and breathes out. And just bringing the attention to the actual experience of the breathing, noticing what the sensations of the body are as the breath comes in and goes out. And we let that experience of the body breathing be the main focus for the attention. Using the experience of breathing as the main object for mindfulness. Letting the awareness meet with your own actual experience of breathing. And we notice that the attention at times goes away from the breath, goes to other objects, perhaps to other body sensations, or to sounds, or to thoughts. And the meditation practice is simply to notice when that happens, to accept that it's happening, to know that this is what is in this moment, and then gently but directly bring the attention back to the experience of breathing. So we're not trying to stop other experiences or to block them out, but to actually notice them and then come back to rest in the experience of breathing.
So the time now is for walking meditation. And we do walking meditation outside. We keep the hall quiet just for sitting meditation or for standing. And so at the end, you can just go outside and find a small area that you can do the walking meditation. Perhaps the distance between two of these columns, that's sufficient. It's walking not to get somewhere. It's walking to know the experience of walking. And so when you get outside and to your place of walking, and it's very nice to go back to the same place each time there's walking meditation. And in walking meditation, it's good to have the eyes open. And you just want to begin by standing in a relaxed way with the eyes open, but not fixed on anything. And certainly not, you know, paying attention to what's going on around us, but just kind of the gaze soft at some general area in front of us. And just begin by bringing the attention to the feet, just to the experience of the feet in contact with the earth. So the feet is the object of awareness, instead of the breath, as in the sitting meditation. And when there's a sense of just standing, of just having the feet in contact with the earth, then very slowly, not really slowly, but just slow enough to pay attention, just begin walking, raising one foot, moving it through the air, and just knowing the experience of that, sensing the feet, the shift in the weight, and the moving through the air, and resting the foot on the earth. So again, walking not to get anywhere, but just to know the experience of walking, the actual physical sensation of what it is to be walking on this earth. So we'll have a 20-minute walking period, and if the bell ringer could ring the bell, what, at about 25. At 10 to 9. Okay, if the bell ringer could ring at 10 to 9, and we'll come back in for a short sitting to close the day.